Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northland Baptist Bible College. And, Doc, it's good to have you back on the program.
Oh, it's a blessing to be back. We're right in the middle of Heart Conference and able to get some good preaching.
You've been out and about. Where was the last place that you were at?
I was in Tennessee, down at Gatlinburg, and then Alabama.
So you were
back Sunday night.
You had some good eating while you were down there.
Good eating, but it was cold. It was cold. Down in the teens and 20s.
Yeah, you had to come back to the warm weather here in Wisconsin.
We had to get back to the balmy Wisconsin weather.
Well, we have a special treat in the studio today with us is a good friend and somebody that the Lord has introduced into our lives, and we're so thankful. And Jerry, you're here today. Jerry Fry is a member at Brookside Baptist Church and is a leader in the business community in the city of Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
We're an employee benefit consulting firm. I have about 50 employees and deal mostly with large employers' employee benefit needs.
And how long have you been doing that?
This is our 20th anniversary.
Now, you're married to Natalie, and you have two children.
Sure do. 27 years.
27 years of marriage. Wow.
I have a sophomore at Hillsdale College and a junior at Wisconsin Lutheran High School.
Great. Well, we're glad you could be with us. And one of the things we want to talk about is how the Lord reaches people in different areas and walks of life. And you certainly have had some very interesting opportunities of the Lord. I know that one of your interests and one of your passions is creation. How did you become interested in creation?
About 1990, Henry Morris's book, The Genesis Record, found its way into my possession, and I've kind of been on fire for it ever since then.
Now, Henry Morris is with
Institute for Creation Research. He just recently passed.
And you were tied in with that group, or you just—
Not a bit. Just happened to run across one of his books and started buying every book I could buy on creation. There weren't so many back in 1990. Literally, for whatever reason, God placed on my heart that I should buy multiple copies of every resource I could find, and we literally filled up a bedroom in our home, one that didn't have children in it, and I had no idea what it was going to be used for.
I think you told me one time, didn't you have like 1,500 volumes in that bedroom?
There were, almost 2,000.
On creation? Can you imagine that many books on creation?
Well, what a need, though, because if Genesis 1:1 is not accurate, then none of the Bible
right.
is. And I think that's why it's such a point of attack, because if we can question Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, then Satan has been able to enter the mind and put darkness where people will not be able to comprehend the light.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jerry, you weren't always a creationist, I take it.
No, I was raised in a Christian home, but in a denomination that didn't particularly take a stand one way or the other. So I think I would characterize myself probably as a theistic evolutionist before that time.
And so through the reading of Dr. Morris's book and through other study that you did, you came to a position on a literal 7-day creation, or 6-day creation, 7-day rest.
I sure have.
And why do you feel that's important?
Well, it's one of those things that if Adam and Eve weren't literal, and if there wasn't a literal fall, then what is the meaning of sin? What is the whole aspect of man's separation from God? And if sin isn't there, then why the need for a Savior? And I think that by taking in our culture, essentially taking the first 11 chapters out of Genesis and turning it into myth, we've in fact undermined in many cases the ability to share the gospel because they don't really understand the idea of being a sinner.
Right.
It's an excellent point. And the blessing is, Doc Horn, we're hearing it from a businessman, not a preacher. Someone who on his own study with his own burden is not coming as a preacher, but yet as a burden businessman who knows Christ and realizes how crucial that really is.
Do you feel like there are a lot of people in the church that don't really think this is an important issue?
There are. I had occasion to just spend some time recently down at Ken Ham's museum there, Answers in Genesis. Many of the people there will tell you that some of the most ardent opposition comes from within various circles of Christianity.
That's in Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, just below Cincinnati there.
That's right.
Yeah, I've watched that develop over the years as we've driven by, and I...
It's an absolutely amazing facility. It's going to be opening on May 28th.
Now, what's going to be
there? The amazing thing is the miraculous provisions of how he has even gotten some of the skeletal things there, and that's a story in itself.
It sure is.
What is the building going to be when you talk about Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis?
Well, my understanding, and again, I'm not part of that ministry, but they are going to have essentially a display around the seven seas of history, you know, the old idea of creation and ultimately at the end consummation with Christ in the middle. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is the building is dedicated to defending the Bible from the very first verse, from Genesis 1:1. It's all true, it's all history, it's all literal, and it's all for us.
Kind of what you were saying a minute ago, Doc, about if we give up Genesis 1:1, we might as well hang up all the rest of it.
Right, and that's why it's such a point of satanic attack. And it always is seemingly through the intellectual community. But what's interesting to discover is that morality is what determines our theology. In other words, we don't want a theology that is going to go contrary to the moral choices that I make. So we have to undo that theological base so that I can justify my moral base. It's Romans chapter 1.
Right. In other words, if I don't want a moral authority in my life, then evolution becomes a very, very important plank in my ideology.
Now, even if it's not defendable.
Right. I mean, because I'm not trying to defend evolution. I'm really trying to defend me.
Yes, right.
So, interesting. Now, you've also taken this interest that the Lord has given you, Jerry, and you've really put some feet to it right in our state in Wisconsin. You've been involved with an organization, and you've kind of been used of God to develop this creation exhibit, Creation Center at Timberley. Is that accurate?
That's right. Timberley is a kids camp in East Troy, and it's a pretty active place. There are about 60,000 people who go through there in one form or another during the course of a year. Right smack dab in the middle of the camp is a creation center. It's a creation science center, and half of the building is literally a seven-day multimedia experience about the 7 days of creation. For instance, day one is dedicated to light, day two to water and hydrology, etc. And the other half of the building is dedicated to presenting God's world from God's view.
So I would show up and I would start in room one and I would go into room one, and what would happen?
Well, actually, you have to sign up, and groups of 20 go through, and the walk is literally a multimedia experience that lasts about 45 minutes. And then in day seven, you have an opportunity to talk about the experience in a wonderful setting, and then you can be released into the rest of the Science Center, where we have just an amazing number of exhibits from God's creation, whether it's geology or shells or animals, insects, etc.
I know you have a particular interest and fascination with butterflies.
Well, I do. I ran across something that's been around for about 10 years. A National Geographic photographer named Kel Sandved about 10 years ago discovered that the every letter of the English alphabet and every number of our Arabic numbering system is actually found on the wings of butterflies.
So you could take 26 butterflies, I mean theoretically, and find every letter, separate letter on each separate butterfly.
That's right. And it's not theoretical. It comes from all points of the globe, from Finland to Brazil, Peru, Indonesia, America, Europe. Virtually every continent is represented here except Antarctica.
And maybe there's one there that we haven't found
That's
yet.
That's exactly right.
It's kind of cold there, I would think.
Right.
This guy has collected these butterflies. Are you getting a set of these or –
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've actually put out a poster. It's quite extraordinary, and it shows this. Now, these symbols, these letters, are not all the same size, and they're not all in the same spots. And as a matter of fact, some of the symbols are microscopic. You actually need a microscope to see them, which is fascinating that God would do this, because then there's no way an evolutionist can say that the symbol or the pattern confers some evolutionary advantage because you can't see it, unless you go looking for it. But yet some of them are it looks like the butterflies are wearing jerseys. You know, they're numbered 88, 89 in Brazil in particular.
So, well, they play a lot of soccer down there.
Yeah, I imagine.
So maybe if I were an evolutionist, I might think that might have had something to do with it. How do intelligent people, I mean, I'm just asking, how do intelligent people respond to something like this? When you tell them, I've got these butterflies, I see these butterflies, I mean, they're evident, I mean, you could prove that they exist, you have the evidence in hand. How do intelligent people answer that?
Most people are quite stunned. I mean, even committed Christians are quite stunned that God's done that. But we've actually, there's a scientific principle called Borel's Law, and it says if something can only happen one time out of 1 times 10 to the 50th, that's a 10 with 50 zeros after it, so, you know, pretty seldom. If it happens less than that, or if the chances of it happening is less than that, then it can't happen. And mathematicians, applied mathematics to this, is that the chance that this happened by accident is something well in excess of that number. Mm. Stay tuned and we'll give you the actual number, but it's well in excess of Borel's Law, which means it couldn't have happened by an accident.
That's another way that God chooses to show himself mighty in his creation, not only in the massive heavens, but under a microscope in some cases. Mm-hmm. That's
Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God.
And then you go down into the microscopic element and you see, and then go down all the way to DNA. But to have something that God chose like a butterfly to display his awesomeness is quite exciting.
Jerry, as you think about the ministry at Timberley that you're part of and the idea that you have of bringing these butterflies together in a collection, how do you see the Lord using that?
Well, I think we're going to actually put the poster together so people can see them all in one spot. And then we'll collect one of each of the specimens so they can see these are real butterflies. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea is to challenge the presuppositions of somebody about the fact that God is there. And even the Smithsonian recognized that there was something magical going on here, because they produced a print that's available out of the butterfly wings, and it says, all finite things reveal infinitude. Now, they may not come to the same conclusion we do about what infinitude is, but they recognize there's something more than just that butterfly, just more than that butterfly wing.
Well, Jerry, it's been a delight to have you on our program and to talk about creation, and maybe in the next broadcast we can talk even more about the implications of all of this for life, but thank you for coming and for giving your life to this in many ways and for the way the Lord has used this. And you said 60,000 children a year coming through.
Children and adults.
Coming through the center.
Right.
That's an incredible. And you've been doing this for 10 years.
The center's, we started building it 10 years ago. It's only been open for about 4. It took us 6 years to get it done.
So that's still 200. That's a quarter of a million people that have been exposed to the truth of God's creation. And to his glory. And we can thank the Lord for his use of your life in that way. Those of you listening, I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast today. Those of you who perhaps are involved in homeschooling may want to take this broadcast and play it for your children during their time as you talk about God's creation. We're thankful to have had the opportunity. If you heard something today that has piqued your interest or that would cause you to want to know how to have a deeper or a more personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we would encourage you to get hold of us. www.thewordforlife.org. And until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.